So the pasuk begins this week's parasha by Yigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda went close to Yosef. So we need to understand why the pasuk found it necessary to say by Yigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda went close to him. The pasuk could have easily just began with the words of Vayomer Yehuda Biadoni. Why do we need the Vayigash Elav Yehuda? Yehuda went close to him. Yosef then reveals himself to his brothers and he says, "Ani Yosef, ha'oid avicha, is my father still alive?" The brothers could not answer him because they were shocked in his presence. So we need to understand the kasha that Mefarshim asked, why is Yosef asking, "Ha'oid avicha, is my father still alive?" The whole petition of Yehuda was all about his father. That if Binyamin doesn't come home, then his father will die. So obviously his father is alive. Why did Yosef ask, "Ha'oid avicha?" And then it says, "Le'yachlu echav lanisai." They couldn't answer him. "Kinivlu mipanov." They were shocked from before him. Pasuk could have said, "Kinivlu mimenoi." They were shocked from him. What is the mipanov? The Medrash says on this pasuk, "Oylonim yamadin, oylonim yamatachecha." Woe is to us for the day of judgment. Woe is to us for the day of rebuke. And the Medrash goes on to say that here it was Yosef that was rebuking his brothers, and they weren't able to withstand his rebuke. They couldn't answer him. We are going to have to stand in judgment before the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's going to rebuke us. What will we say? And it seems that Chazal saw that in this pasuk that Yosef was rebuking his brothers. And we don't see this in the pasuk. It seems from the pasuk that Yosef is just revealing himself. Where is the rebuke in this pasuk? If we go back to Parshas Vayeshev, the pasuk says, "Vayava Yosef as dibosim royal aviam." Yosef brought their brothers' bad things to his father. And it seems the simple understanding of the pasuk is that Yosef would tattletale on his brothers. Which seems to be very difficult. It seems that this would be Lashon Hara. How can we say that Yosef was guilty of Lashon Hara? Rashi brings over there that Kol Rosh Hayaraya Be'echav B'nei Leah, or that all evil that he would see in his brothers, Hayimagid La'aviv, he would tell his father. Shoyoichlan Eber Menachai, he says that they would eat Eber Menachai. They would tear off the limbs of live animals and eat them. And they would degrade the sons of Bila and Zilpa to call them slaves. And that they were suspected of promiscuity. So I find it very difficult that the Shiftei Ka, that the Holy Shvatim, can be suspected of any of these three things. Abram and Achai, Chashudim al Varayas, seems very difficult to understand. So I'd like to suggest the following. We find the Machlokes in the Gemara between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. How to resolve the contradiction, what seems to be a contradiction in the Torah. In one pasuk, the pasuk says, "Bonamatam Hashem alekechem." You are children to Hashem. And one pasuk says, "Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim." The b'nei Yisrael are avodim to Hashem. So are we children or are we servants? So Yehuda says that bizman she'ois mitzayin shel malkim, when Yidden are fulfilling the will of Hashem, nikru banim, that's why they're called children. Ainois mitzayin shel malkim, if they're not fulfilling the will of Hashem, then nikruin avodim, then they're called servants. Rameir says, no, benkach or benkach kriim banim, that whether they're performing Hashem's will or they're not performing Hashem's will, they're considered children. So I'd like to perhaps explain this machlokes, that the neshama of a yid is called a ben, is called a son, a child to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Since the neshama is a chedek of the kami mal mamish, the neshama is part and parcel of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam himself. Similar to a child that is made up of the genes, the same genetics as his parents, that is what the neshama is. So the neshama is a ben to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Neshama is a child to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The guf, the body, is an eved to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. At best, the body is forced to go along with the neshama. So the body, since it performs, since it fulfills Hashem's will begrudgingly, the body is called an eved. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, when a person fulfills the Ratzon Hashem, meaning if the person obeys his neshama, who wants to fulfill the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's will, so then the person is called by the name of their neshama, and therefore they're called banim. However, if the person is listening to their body, the person is fulfilling the will of their body, and therefore they're not fulfilling Hashem's will, so then the person is called. The person is called what their body is, which is an evet. Rameir disagrees. Rameir holds that whether the person is listening to the neshama or the person is listening to the body, the person is still called a ben, because the essence of the person is the neshama. That is the pnimius of the person. That is the ikar ratzon of. That is the main will of the person. The main will is the neshama. Whether or not the person ends up obeying their neshama or not is a different story. But the person is a ben to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The person is a yid, is benkach or benkach, whether the person is fulfilling Hashem's will or not, nikru banim, they're called banim. And the halacha is like Rameir. The halacha is benkach or benkach kruim banim. That we're called banim regardless whether we fulfill Hashem's will or not, because we identify ourselves by our neshama and not by our guf. And we need to know this. We need to know that both when we're dealing with ourselves or when we're dealing with other Yidden, despite the fact that the body of this person might be doing things that is opposite of Hashem's will, or whether it's, even if it's ourselves, we don't have the right to give up on ourselves or to give up on someone else, because in essence, the neshama of every yid is a ben, is a child to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and therefore it is the ratzon, the pnimius of every yid to do Hashem's will. And by a yid knowing that, whether it's ourselves or making other yidin aware of the neshama that they possess, and that they are children to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we have the ability to bring out the real pnimius of a yid, and to help yidin come closer to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. as opposed to focusing on the guf of a yid, which might be doing things that is opposite Hashem's will. We should not be focusing on the eved of a yid, we should be focusing on the ben. Focusing on the eved of a yid is not going to bring a yid any closer to the Divine Shleilah. And I believe that this was the machlok between Yosef and his brothers. Yosef held, the brothers held, like Rabbi Yehuda, that only when a yid performs Hashem's will is the person identified by his neshama and called a ben to the Rabbi Nishleilam. Otherwise, a person is identified by their body and they're called avodim. Whereas Yosef held that benkach u'benkach kriyim bonim, and that a person always needs to focus on the pnimius. A person always needs to focus on the neshama of a yid, which is a ben to the Rabbi Nishleilam. And this is why the Torah says, "Va'yave Yosef as dibasam ra el aviam," meaning when the shvatim would find bad things in others, or when Yosef would see bad things in his brothers, Yosef would bring that all to the concept of aviam, that the Rebbeinu Shlalom is their father. Instead of focusing on dibasam ra, Yosef would bring it to Aviam. Yosef would focus. Yosef would revert his focus to Aviam, to the fact that the Rebbeinu Shleilam is their father, and they are children to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Not to focus on the Bosom Ra. And Rashi explains that what Yosef suspected his brothers of was, first of all, mezalzlim b'bnei hashvachas the kreis and avodim. They were degrading. They were degrading Yiddish kinder to call them avodim because they were focusing on their outward actions instead of focusing on their neshama. Instead of realizing that they're bonim, they would call them avodim. Back about 200 years ago, in the when the winds of Haskalah were blowing very strongly and influencing many Yidden, the Gedolei Hador, specifically in Hungary, got together and had no choice but to make a Teilung, which was a total separation between the Orthodox Jews and the Reform. Basically, the Teilung was that, for all practical purposes, the Reform have a din of non-Jews altogether. One cannot marry with them, and so on and so forth. It was a move on their part that they felt was absolutely necessary in order to control the damage. The Rizhner, the Hilig Rizhner, was in Russia at that time, and the Rizhner felt what had just transpired far away in Hungary, and the Rizhner said, at the moment when they made the Teilung, the Rizhner said, "Matiat ugeris na ayvif in the Shechina." He said, a limb of the Shechina was just torn off. Meaning, when they eliminated a whole section of Yidden from Yiddishkeit, the Rishna said, "Matiyatz ugeris na'ayvef in the Shechina." A limb of the Shechina was just torn off. And then the Rishna said, "But sometimes it's imperative to amputate a limb in order to save the rest of the body." But what we see from here is that when a yid is when one despairs of another yid, when one cuts off another yid, it's considered tearing off a limb of the Shechina. The Shechina is called Chai. The Rabbeinu Shlalem is Cheo Elamim. Yosef suspected his brothers of Eiver Manachai, of tearing off a limb of the Rabbeinu Shlalem, tearing off a limb of the Shechina, by being mezalzel, by degrading other Yidden to call them Avodim, by not focusing on their Pnimius. And Yosef suspected them of Gili Arayas. Gili Arayas, by definition, means revealing the shame of a person. Focusing on their shame instead of focusing on their goodness. They were Megala Erva. They were revealing the bad of a person instead of focusing on their good. Yosef in Mitzrayim represented the assimilated Jew. He was, for all practical purposes, the way it seemed on the outside, Yosef was conducted himself like an Egyptian. He looked like an Egyptian. He spoke like an Egyptian. That is what Yosef represents. Where the true Yosef only existed in the pnimius of that person. In the chitzonius, it looked like a totally assimilated person. Yehuda, realizing that their mahalach, that their approach wasn't working, the approach of the kreisan avodim, the approach of calling such people slaves, servants, not focusing on the pnimius, wasn't working. So finally, vayigash elav Yehuda. Finally, Yehuda decided to try kiruv, to try coming close. And all of the sudden, v'lo yochel Yosef lehisapik, all of a sudden the Yosef that's in the pnimius can no longer contain himself. And the Yosef becomes revealed, and the Yosef announces, Ani Yosef, I'm not the person who you think I am. I'm not the person that I look like in my chitzonius. I am Yosef. And then Yosef asked the painful question to the brothers, Ha'oid Avichai, don't you see that despite the chitzonius, that the Avi is still alive, that the fact that the Rebbeinu Shlom is my father and that my neshama is his child, can't you see that it's still alive? And his brothers couldn't answer him. Kinivulu mipanav, they were so shocked at how the pnimius emanated, how the pnimius came out despite the chitzonius, which seemed to be so dense. And on that the Medrash says, Oilonu miyayim adin, oilonu miyayim atoicheicha. Woe is to us from the day of judgment, the day of rebuke, when the Rebbeinu Shlalom will ask us why we despaired, why did we despair of ourselves? Why did we despair of others? Why did we focus on the chitzonius? The Rebbeinu Shlalom will ask us the same question, Ha'oid avichai? Isn't the neshama still alive? The neshama that can call the Rebbeinu Shlalom Avi, isn't that still alive? So the message of this parasha is a very strong message. We have to constantly ask ourselves, Ha'oid avichai, whether it's regarding ourselves, when we're looking at another yid. We have to realize that the Avi is still alive in every single Yid, despite the Chitzonius. And all that we need is Vayigash Elav. All we need is to come close, to be Mekarav a Yid. And that will bring out the Ani Yosef. That will bring out the Pnimius. Leibsh the help and the Schus of realizing that the Rebbeinu Shlalom is our Father, not to be Mezalzel, to call other people Avodim, will be able to restore the Eivra to the Shechina, the Eivra to the Chai. We'll be zeichet to the time of a heishav leiv avos al banim, leiv banim al avos, and bevias Mashiach tzidkenu, b'mehiru b'yameinu, amen.